The passage to which I would like to draw your attention tonight is found in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 5. Just one verse, verse 4, a short text, one that may at a glance seem to have nothing whatsoever to do with Christmas, but I hope upon further reflection we'll see that it does in fact have a great deal to do with Christmas. It's Matthew chapter 5, verse 4. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Let's pray. Father, we give thanks to you for your word. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege of hearing your word read tonight through the Old Testament into the New. They recount for us the events surrounding the incarnation of the Son of God, the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, as we turn to this passage to consider it now, we pray that your Spirit, who inspired this word originally, would be our teacher. Open our minds, open our hearts, feed our souls on it. Lord, let us, in your light, see light. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. These words Jesus spoke in that section of Matthew's Gospel we know as the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, 6, and 7, and in a subsection that we generally refer to as the Beatitudes, the blessings, blessed are the blessings. Those who mourn. That would pretty much be all of us. We mourn for various reasons. We mourn because of sin within, being poor in spirit, as the Beatitude just before this one puts it, that poverty, that spiritual bankruptcy that characterizes every one of us in ourselves. And we also mourn because of sin generally, the fallenness of this world because of Adam's sin, and I need not argue for that. You see the evidence of that every day in the news and the headlines. The effect of Adam's sin and just producing the general brokenness, sorrow, misery that we see in the world all around us. And really, no matter how good we might seem to have it financially, in terms of possessions, in terms of job, in terms of abilities, in terms of intellect, even spiritually, we all mourn because for one reason or another, at one time or another, we all hurt. Now, my purpose here on this Christmas Eve is not to depress you, far from it. However, we do need to recognize as we celebrate the birth of Christ, which is what Christmas is all about, to celebrate that event, that it took place against a very dark background, against a very dark backdrop of mourning in the world. Even the very setting of the Nativity in the Bible tells us this. Israel was no longer a nation under its own control. It was under the thumb of mighty Rome. According to King James, Jesus was even born in the middle of tax season. It was a hard time. And the Christmas carols that we so often sing acknowledge this dark background. If we're listening to what we have sung, many of them we've already sung tonight. Listen to these words. Come, thou long-expected Jesus, born to set thy people free from our fears and sins. Release us. Let us find our rest in thee. It came a floweret bright amid the cold winter when half spent was the night. This flower whose fragrance tender with sweetness fills the air dispels with glorious splendor the darkness everywhere. From sin and death he saves us and lightens every load to save us all from Satan's power. When we were gone astray. O come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel that mourns in lonely exile here. O come, thou rod of Jesse, free thine own from Satan's tyranny. From depths of hell thy people save. Give them victory over the grave. disperse the gloomy clouds of night and death's dark shadows put to flight. Do you notice the themes in Christmas carol after Christmas carol? Yes, there's the good news of Jesus, but it comes against the dark backdrop of such themes as slavery, fear, sin, darkness, gloom, cold, burdens, exile, tyranny, hell. Christmas events occur. A baby was born against a dark backdrop indeed. Now, maybe some of you identify with Charlie Brown, the Charlie Brown Christmas. Christmas is coming, but you don't feel happy. You don't feel the way you're supposed to feel. You always end up feeling depressed. But you're not turning a wonderful holiday into a problem, as Linus suggested to Charlie Brown. No, you're not. In fact, you have your finger on the problem. You recognize the problem that joy in this world is always, always tinged with a hint of sadness, with a hint of disappointment, with a hint of not living quite up to expectation. That's life in this fallen world. Nevertheless, we take heart because Christmas is for us. Christmas is for you, not the tinsel, not the bustle, not the ho, 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 but Christmas, Emmanuel, God with us. You see, Jesus came into this world precisely because we hurt, precisely because we've sinned and alienated ourselves from God and others, precisely because this fallen, broken world is a painful place to be. See, Christmas is God's entering into this world, coming into the darkness, Jesus becoming one of us, entering into our misery to lead us out. Do you know the Bible never once tells us that Jesus laughed? Now, I'm sure he did. He was human. And he had a sense of humor that occasionally comes through in his teaching. I mean, the idea of take the 2x4 out of your own eye before you take the speck out of a neighbor's eye is a pretty funny image. And meant to be, to make the point, Jesus had a sense of humor, but the Bible never says that he laughed. It says he sighed on a couple of occasions. It says that he wept, John 11:35, at the death of Lazarus. In fact, long before Jesus came, centuries before, Isaiah the prophet described Jesus as a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. Does life hurt? Well, Jesus knows how you feel. He was born in humble conditions, lived most of his life in obscurity. He developed the following, which later fell away from him, in fact, turned against him. Even his closest friends abandoned him in his hour of greatest need. One of them betrayed him for money. Another denied 3 times, even knew Jesus. The few possessions he had were taken from him. He was whipped, mocked, spat upon, and crucified, naked. And then things got bad. Because on that cross, he who knew no sin became sin. Your sin, my sin, the sins of whoever would believe in him. All of it pinned on him, willingly taking it to himself, and there suffering the just wrath of Almighty God, his Father, against that sin. For you and for me, for our forgiveness, to satisfy justice. The text says, blessed are those who mourn. Now, that's not normally a word we would associate with sadness, with mourning. Well, you're blessed if you're mourning. So why? Why would a person who's mourning be considered blessed? Well, precisely for this reason. For they shall be comforted. Comforted by whom? Comforted by God. Only those who have felt this mourning in this way know the comfort of God, because after all, they're the ones. We are the ones whom this mourning, this grief, this longing for something more has driven to put our hope, our faith in Jesus. But where's the comfort? Well, it's in Jesus, and it's in this, that Jesus rose from the grave. In his resurrection, he defeated sin. In his resurrection, he conquered death. In his resurrection, he overcame the misery. You see, Jesus has the last word, not sin and misery. You see, Jesus wins the victory, not the grave. In C.S. Lewis's fictional land of Narnia, under the spell of the White Witch, it was always winter, but never Christmas. It's not so in our world. Winter came just a few days ago, and right on its heels, Christmas arrives. You see, into that darkness of winter came one who is light. Into that death came the one who is life. As the carol says, light and life to all he brings, risen with healing in his wings. You know, our culture, the songs, encourage us to put a lot of hope in the day of Christmas itself. But Christmas is just a day. It's a great day to be sure, but at the end of the day, it's just a day. It cannot possibly bear the weight of the hope and the expectations that people place upon it. So don't look so much at Christmas. Look through Christmas at that to which it points. A Savior who came into the world to turn our darkness to light, our death to joy, our mourning to life. Look through Christmas to see a Savior who will return to usher all who have believed in him into a new heavens and a new earth in which nothing, nothing will fall short of expectations. That, dear friends, is the comfort of Christmas. Not the day, but the Christ, the Savior, the Lord. And with that comfort in mind, may you indeed have a very merry Christmas. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for a day off, a day with friends, a day with family, a day with good food, a day to celebrate. But Father, our hope is in far more than a day on the calendar, December 25th. Our day is in, our hope, our comfort is in Christ, whom that day represents, to whom that day points us. Father, I pray that all of us in the sorrows of this world, whatever our burdens might be right now, whatever the thought is that weights us down, that wakes us up at night, that we would find our joy and our hope in you, the Christ whose birth we celebrate, the Christ who went into the grave for sinners and came out victorious. Father, we praise you and give you thanks. In his name, amen.